Svechnikov with it. He'll fire it across. Finds its way up top. Slavin shot. Deflected up front. They score! On the power play! Nino Niederreiter! He's still red hot for the Holidays, and the Canes take a 1-0 lead. All has the puck in the Hurricane zone. Gets a bunch of skates and pops free. And a possible 2-on-1. Aho with Teravainen. Aho! Teravainen! He scores! Shorthanded! His second shorthanded goal of the year. Teravainen puts Carolina up 2-0. 90 seconds left here in the first period. 5 seconds left in the penalty to Trocheck. Evans sends it to the slot, and that shot's hammered over the top of the Canes net. Still loose, they'll shovel at it. Ronta gets a piece of it as he denies Cedric Paquette, the former Cane.
Mike, what an absolutely explosive save, and late in the period. Amplify it.
Caulfield shot. That hits a body out front. Ronta sprawls, makes a save, and he puts the glove on top of it and freezes things there with 4 seconds left in the period. Great chance for Montreal on the power play, but Ronta stands tall across there. Line it, bumpers it, trying to find Aho, couldn't connect. Trocheck was on the doorstep. Now back, Teravainen, this time he scores on the power play. Teuvo Teravainen, his second of the game, puts Carolina up 3-0. Another shot put on by Kulak out in front. Ronta with a big save as he denies Vedemo. And now Carolina comes back the other way. Possible 2-on-1.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. Thank you very much for spending some time with us. It is hockey again. Yes, we're allowed to play. How fun. How fun. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy New Year in advance of the new year. The next time we speak, it will be 2022. So let me be the first. I'm probably not the first to wish you Happy New Year, but let me be the first to do it this way. Celebrate New Year by going to the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, let's say you have an acorn that is going to drop outside your home. I'm making it up, people. They don't do acorns at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, but they'll do a heck of a job on your roof or on your gutter helmets. Got a tweet from somebody today or yesterday about his love for the Aluminum Company. Well, thank you very much. You can find them on, you can find them online at the aluminum at aluminumcompany.com. Get a free no obligation estimate right there. How about that for a commercial? To open up the podcast. 4-0 Carolina, first game in 12 days. The holiday break was supposed to be, 3 days, 4 days? Play the 23rd, be off the 24th, 25th, 26th, come back and play the 27th. Boom. None of that happened, of course. The break was 12 days. Last time we saw the Hurricanes play, it was 12 days ago at home against the LA Kings. Carolina was playing without a bunch of players. At least they were able to dress 18. They didn't dress 18 against Detroit, only dressed 16 against Detroit. That worked out fine. Then dressed 18 against the Kings. That worked out fine. They dressed 18, but hey, what do you know? An NHL lineup tonight. All NHL players. Essentially, their best lineup. Apart from the goalie. And as it turned out, Freddie Anderson backed up Antti Raanta tonight. What COVID? Everybody's out of protocol. The only player still in protocol is Brendan Smith. And they expect him out any day now. Anyway, there's only one more game left before they take another five-day break. They'll play Saturday afternoon in Columbus, and then they'll be off for 5 days before they come home and play a Friday-Saturday back-to-back at home against Calgary and Florida. That should be a lot of fun, by the way. That is, I guess, next Friday and Saturday. Anyway, let's get to tonight. And the Hurricanes were not great tonight. They didn't have to be great tonight because Montreal was, you thought Carolina had problems. At least Carolina still had a bunch of good players. Montreal, not so much. Be it COVID or injury. Here's the top 11 scorers for Montreal. Nick Suzuki, Tyler Toffoli, Jonathan Drouin, Josh Anderson, Christian Dvorak, Arturi Lehkonen, Chris Weidman, Mike Hoffman, Ben Chiarot on defense. I forget who's 10th in scoring on the team because I didn't write it down. Nine of them didn't play. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 11. That's 8, actually. 8 of them didn't play. Brendan Gallagher is 7th. He left the game halfway through with an injury. I mean, completely decimated. So, Carolina didn't have to be great tonight. Cole Caulfield is, I mean, he's not the Quasar we saw in the playoffs a year ago. So, he's had some struggles. He spent some time in the minors. Nick Suzuki is their leading scorer and is obviously going to be a great player, but he's not a great player now. They've just got a lot of issues. And Sam Montembeau played very well, but they don't have a great team in front of him. They're just no Edmondson, no Petrie. I mean, forget it. Montreal's toast. It's a bad team with a terrible power play. Although Carolina makes everybody look like they have a terrible power play of late. Anyway, I'm just saying that the Hurricanes didn't have to play great tonight. They had to play hard tonight, and that was easily accomplished for this team. By the way, we're going to talk to Brian LeBlanc in a little bit. Alec Campbell will explain where Alec Campbell is when we introduce Brian LeBlanc, former managing editor of Canes Country. So he doesn't even live here anymore. We're still going to talk to him about the game because he watches every game and he's got thoughts all the time. I speak to Brian a fair amount. Anyway, there were a lot of good things tonight, so let's just run down a few of them and then we'll talk to Brian and then we'll get out of here. Penalty kill, 5 for 5, 19 for their last 19. They have allowed 5 power play goals in their last 20 games. That's it. 5 power play goals allowed in their last 20 games. 5 for 5 tonight. Antti Raanta bailed him out. Probably on the third, maybe let's say the second power play was the Antti Raanta show. And then he made a couple of saves. The third power play wrapped over between the first and the second. And he had to make a couple of good saves at the end of the first period. You heard a couple of them in the open. But then I thought Montreal was completely non-threatening the rest of the way. And Carolina, of course, outscored Montreal on Montreal's power play with the Teuvo Teravainen shorthanded goal. In fact, there were no 5-on-5 goals scored today. 0. Carolina had 3 power play goals. They were 3 of 5 with the man advantage and scored 1 shorthanded. 4-0 final. It all adds up. 0 5-on-5 goals. Anyway, the penalty kill has obviously been great. Power play, 3 for 5 tonight. Now 6 of their last 11 over the last 3 games, 9 of 20 in their last 7 games. You may think 9 of 20 is great, and by percentage it is dynamite. It's still somewhat concerning that the Hurricanes are getting less than 3 power plays a game. They got 5 tonight, right? So that to me is still a bit of a concern. They don't get a lot of power plays. They have a good power play. I don't think Carolina has a great power play. They have a good power play. Hey, real quick about the power play. Did notice this tonight. Jordan Staal off the power play. He hasn't scored in 21 games now. So that makes sense. But they've also jumbled up the mixed up the units, which I think is good. You've got Natchez, Aho, Teravainen, Trocheck, and D'Angelo on the top unit. You've got Svechnikov, Kotkaniemi is on the second unit. Jarvis, Niederreiter, and Jacob Slavin. Slavin's been excellent. Jacob Slavin can't get enough ice time. I thought Brett Pesce was good on the power play. I think Slavin can be great on the power play. I really do. He moves so well, and he is such a good passer that he naturally should be good on the power play. If it goes stale again, you can bring Pesce back out. But I think it's also Slavin is just such an elite skater. I think it helps to have him at the top of the umbrella. Anyway, so I did notice that tonight, and it was the first time in a long time we've seen Jordan Staal not on the power play. Normally he's there because he wins every faceoff, and he did win every faceoff tonight just about. He was 17-4 in the faceoff circle. Yeah, that's right, 17-4. At one point he was 15-15. by the way, Kotkaniemi played the wing tonight on Staal's line with Seth Jarvis. That line was very good. I think all three players were very good tonight. I really have liked Kotkaniemi, and I think it was significant that he played the wing and played very well because I believe that if Carolina is going to be the best version of themselves, two things have to happen. One, Andrei Svechnikov's got to start scoring again. I love the way Andre's playing, so I'm not complaining. But if he scores again, Carolina can be the best version of themselves. And I also think that Kotkaniemi must be playing in a top nine role. I just, it's a waste to have him centering your fourth line. It's a waste. So he has to play bigger minutes. He didn't play a ton tonight. He played just over just like 12 and a half minutes. But of course, Carolina had to kill off 10 minutes of power play. And Kotkaniemi is not part of the penalty kill. Carolina has a lot of guys who are part of the penalty kill, including Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen. They, of course, combined on the shorthanded goal. But Martin Natchez was really good killing penalties tonight. He had, seven shot attempts, four on goal. He was just very good all night long. He had an assist. I thought Natchez combined some brilliant play with some sloppy play tonight. But I think you could say that for everybody, including Aho and Teravainen. I mean, there were puck management issues all night. But Antti Raanta was there when they needed him, 25 saves. First Hurricanes shutout. Nino Niederreiter with his ninth goal. Teuvo's got two on the night. First goal in 12 games for Jarvis. Still waiting for Staal to get off the schneid, but Jacob Slavin, three assists. He's now got 18 points on the season. And, I mean, he's the best pure defenseman in the sport. If we're just talking about shutting people down, he's the best. He is a great skater. He's one of the smartest players you'll find. He's getting more physical this year. Next week I'm going to put out a Hurricanes report card, if you will. I think Jacob Slavin's going to get a good grade. I do. I think he's going to get a good grade. Actually, I might change his grade now that he just picked up three more assists tonight. And he's now got 17 on the season. Second on the Hurricanes. Tony DeAngelo has 16. Aho has 19. Aho now with his sixth consecutive multi-point game. Six in a row with at least 2 points. 14 points in those six games. Teuvo Teravainen now has 11 points in his last nine games. Not a coincidence. You put Aho and Teravainen together, magic. Aho, and they're like Martin and Lewis. Actually, they're much better than Martin and Lewis. I should probably stop. And I will, because it's time. It's time to bring in a guest. This is the time when I normally say, my man, Alec Campbell. But Alec Campbell right now is holding, I'm guessing, Decker Gant Campbell, who was, I think, 20.5 inches long and 8 pounds, 3 ounces, I believe, at birth. Something to that effect. I'm not even sure I got that right. But congratulations to Alec and Meredith. And, of course, to Tripp, big brother. So sitting in, I assume, I have no idea, I can't see Brian LeBlanc, is, I already gave it away, Brian LeBlanc, my old friend who moved away, and I found out. I'm going to start this by saying, how dare I find out you're moving to Florida as you're moving to Florida?
Well, it happened quickly. Let's just leave it at that. It happened very quickly.
You're running from the IRS? What's going on?
Oh, no. I'll put it this way. When life presents you an opportunity, you think about it, and if it's the right thing to do, you make the move. And I'm not going to go into too much more than that. No. Suffice it to say that it was difficult, and there are things that I greatly miss about it. Present company being one of those.
Oh, stop it.
Well, it's true. I mean that, you know, the Hurricanes media writ large. I mean, I'm now closer, not necessarily just you, although you are a big part of that.
No.
But I'm closer that I can go to games down here, and was in Tampa a couple months ago before everything flipped up sideways, and
absolutely.
You could still actually do in-person media availabilities,
yeah.
And it was myself and Abby Labar and a couple of media relations people, and Abby did a double take and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?"
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to surprise some people, but, you know, yes, it did happen very quickly, right around the start of the season. And so I've been big on the ESPN Plus train, watching as many games as I can and kind of enjoying it. It's the first time I've been away from Raleigh. I never even left to go to college. So for almost 35 years, I was a resident of the old North State and a regular visitor back there now, but still keeping tabs on the team from afar.
Yeah, of course, I should point out former managing editor, Canes Country, and one of my favorites. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about this game tonight.
And
I appreciate you sitting in for Alec. Alec doesn't give us this kind of insight, by the way.
Well,
I say that before you've given me any insight.
In fairness to Alec, he's just done a pregame show, two intermissions, a postgame show, and then he comes on with you.
He's driving home oftentimes as we're doing this.
Right.
So I'm hoping that he's concentrating on the road. But Alec obviously does a great job.
Let me go ahead and be the second to congratulate him. That was a surprise. That was a surprise to you, because I texted him and I knew nothing about this before he posted an Instagram picture.
I talked to Alec every damn day.
Well, I realized that, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, it just popped up on my Instagram feed on Christmas Day, and I'm like, wait, you did what now?
The kid's got an Instagram account already?
Well, no,
I'm just
Alec
kidding.
Does.
I'm just kidding. Yes, I know.
I mean, maybe he does. I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
It's almost 2022, man. Come on.
He's already texting. He's already got his own phone.
I'm sure he is.
All right, let's get to the game tonight.
It is
absolutely awesome that you were able to do this. There were a ton of good things, but didn't it look to you like the first game after a 12-day break?
Yes, it did. And, you know, we were talking before the game that neither of us had any idea what to expect. This was almost going to be like a preseason game just with 2 points on the line. And we both know that Rod Brind'Amour, at the beginning of a season, usually has a few nits to pick. And I think it's fair to say he probably will after this game, too. But the Hurricanes under him generally have done pretty well to start the season. And they did so tonight after having almost 2 weeks off. I mean, granted, they're playing the Laval Rocket more than they are the Montreal Canadiens. But, you know, you got to play the team on the schedule, and the Hurricanes look very good in doing it. You know, full credit to Antti Raanta, who earned that shutout tonight.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did.
You know, he it may not have been against the most formidable opposition he'll ever see, but a shutout's a shutout, and he definitely had a few saves that, you know, lesser goalies probably wouldn't have made. So credit to him for posting his first bagel as a Hurricane. Good on him, especially with Freddie Anderson now off the COVID list, but still, you know, probably wasn't going to play tonight either way.
He was the backup tonight. Who knew?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think anyone did until 7:08 p.m.
Like, what COVID list? Everybody's back.
Yeah.
I mean, they put the...
strike up the band. Everyone's back.
They put Stefan Nason in the taxi. He's in the Uber, along with Alex Lyon. And who knows? Freddie Anderson was backing up. Just to illustrate your point about Hurricanes shutting out the Laval Rockets tonight. The number one scorer on the team is Nick Suzuki. He played. Number two, Tyler Toffoli. Number three, Jonathan Drouin, who was a late scratch. Number four, Josh Anderson. Number five, Christian Dvorak. Number six, Arturi Lehkonen. Number seven, Brendan Gallagher left the game midway through. Number eight, Chris Weidman. Number nine, Mike Hoffman. Number 11, Ben Chiarot. On defense, so essentially 9 of their top 11 scorers did not play tonight.
You know, I have to be perfectly honest. It says something when you name Mike Hoffman. I legitimately forgot that Mike Hoffman was even in the employ of the Montreal Canadiens until tonight.
Yeah.
And he would have been the second leading scorer on the active roster had he played.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what,
Mike,
that was...
First of all, it's not like anybody's really scoring.
No.
Once you get down, Tyler Toffoli is second on the team. He's got five goals and 17 points on the season. Now
sounds like a vintage Kirk Muller era Hurricane squad.
It's just bad. I mean, they can't score. They have the worst power play in the sport.
You remember the season? It was right before. I think it was the season before they drafted Eric Staal. That the Hurricanes. So that would have been 2003. It may have been Staal's rookie year. I don't remember. But
Staal's rookie year was the 2003-04 season.
Yeah, then it may have been the year before that. I can't remember which one it was. But the Hurricanes didn't have a 20 goal score the entire season. The late Josef Wasicek, God rest his soul, led the team with 19 goals in 82 games. That's kind of what I felt like I was watching with the Canadians tonight, because holy cow, again, you play the team that's on the ice against you, and the Hurricanes did that very well tonight, but let's not confuse this with the record-setting Canadians in the late 70s or anything. This was just get a team iced out there, get 18 guys on the ice and make of it what you will. And there wasn't much to make of it for the Canadians tonight, but the Hurricanes took advantage of it, and good for them.
Yeah, and they didn't play great. I think for the most part, Carolina's issues were all related to managing the puck. And they had trouble, they could have scored more goals. They had trouble, gathering the puck around the net. Andrei Svechnikov could have easily scored a goal. There were some mishandles, maybe some over stick handling from Martin Natchez at times, who otherwise I thought played a very good game again. I think Natchez's game, he has had puck management issues for the most part all year, but Marty does so many good things. Like, he's just not quite all the way to what he's going to be just yet, but he ain't far from it, I don't believe.
No, I don't think so either. And I think that it's telling that, the past couple of years, I think you could have graded Natchez on what you see, what his shooting ability and his ability to kind of read the play and that sort of thing. But now I think you're seeing the next phase of his career develop, and that's the puck distribution and the getting to the right spots on the ice and stuff like that, that takes a longer time to develop. And, he came into the league, he played one game when he was 18, so that doesn't really count, but he was still pretty young when he started. But those years in the AHL, when he was, among the leading scorers, he was the highlight reel guy, and he could still be the highlight reel guy, but he does so much more now. Very similar, honestly, I think, very similar career development arc to Svechnikov, where, he came in and was just kind of a shining light, and then everything else kind of filled in around it. Now Aho's a bona fide number one center who does it all, and I think Natchez is pretty far down that same
stud is what Sebastian Aho is. We're going to talk about that right now. I think, to me, the biggest development of Martin Natchez has been defensively away from the puck. He had the assist. He had three great passes basically in the same sequence. They finally scored a goal. He had seven shot attempts, four shots on goal. But I thought, especially shorthanded, he is dynamic, and he's getting better and better defensively. And he'll get it. The offense will fall, just like I'm confident that the offense will fall for Andrei Svechnikov. I've loved his game the last dozen or so, and he's just not scoring a lot. But it'll come, and I'm not worried about it. And right now, as long as you've got Teuvo Teravainen and Sebastian Aho, that's enough offense right now for a lot. So let's get to Aho, who's now got six straight multi-point games. He's got 14 points in his last six games. He had two assists tonight. Six straight multi-point games. Was this? Should we call him Sebastian Mick Aho at this point?
Well, I mean, who would be wrong in saying that? He's incredible. I mean, he is at this point. You know, I realize that there are some all-time goal scorers in this division, but at this point, I don't know who in the Metro you would take over Sebastian Aho if you're starting a team from scratch right now and had the eight teams in the Metro available to you, and you could take any player off those teams. I think Sebastian Aho would probably be first off of my list. Is that good?
That's an interesting question you raise. Is the answer still not Ovechkin?
Well, if you're talking about right now, but Ovechkin gives up 10 years to us to Aho.
I know.
You know, if you're looking at it from a long-term thing, Ovechkin's a better goal scorer.
You're 100% right. He's 24.
I think the question probably comes down to whether it's Aho or Artemi Panarin, if you're looking long-term. And at this point, given what they're capable of doing and the fact that they basically are equally capable scorers, and Aho is a considerably better defensive player, I don't think there's much of a question.
Yeah.
I think if you're setting a team up for the next 10 years, I think Aho is your guy. He's that good.
I'm team Sebastian Aho. And I remember a conversation I had with, I'll leave his name out of it, but as a hint, he's currently the head coach of the Hurricanes, who was not convinced, and this is in the playoff year, the first playoff year, was not convinced that Aho was a center.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
We need his offense. I know I can get it if I put him back at the wing. Center's too much. I don't know that he's ever going to be a center in this league. And then he moves him back to wing, and he's playing with Jordan Staal that night. Staal is centering Aho on the left, and I believe Teravainen on the right.
Yep.
And that was the game that Jordan Staal suffered the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And Aho moved back to center the next game and has not left since. And he's getting better. 54% in the faceoff circle for the year. He was 6 out of 8 tonight. He had three takeaways. He's one of the best penalty killers in the league.
Yeah, they almost had another one tonight.
Yep. I mean, they did score shorthanded. Teravainen is a big part of, I think, Aho. They basically share a brain.
Yes, they do.
It's just insane how they just always seem to know where the other one is. And Turbo is also on a heater right now in his last nine, six goals, five assists. He's a plus 10 in his last nine games.
That ain't bad.
Nope.
That is not bad at all.
That's good. Those two guys together just, they make magic, and very quietly, Teuvo Teravainen is second on the team, tied with Nino and Svechnikov with 9 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Very quietly.
And how many of those would he not have scored in the past when he always made the extra pass, much to the consternation of everyone in the building?
See, I think he's setting everybody up.
Yeah, he still has a tendency to do that, but he's doing it a lot less, and he's always had a good shot.
Great shot.
And now you're seeing that work. I mean, the shorthanded goal tonight, perfect example. In a previous life, I mean, he kind of had that give and go from Aho to set that up. He may have tried a return pass there.
Yep.
And this time he let her rip, and it paid off for him. And that's what he's got to do more of. And I think slowly he's kind of coming around to that. And maybe having Aho at center kind of gives him the flexibility where before he kind of thought maybe he had to be the setup guy because, you know, Aho was depending on him. Now Aho's in the stratosphere and he can create his own plays. Doesn't need, not to say he doesn't need Turbo to set him up, but it certainly behooves him to have him. But, you know, it's not a requirement for him to just be a playmaker anymore. And I think we're seeing that kind of round into form. So it's almost like it's a feedback loop for both of them. They're just feeding off of each other, and each other's games are taking the other to the next level in addition to their own.
And they're sauna buddies. Is there room for Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Seth Jarvis in the sauna? Seth, I don't know if you know this, is an honorary Finn. He lives with Aho.
Yeah.
And he plays on Kotkaniemi's Xbox. I don't know. It's bananas.
That's gotta be the most happening place in Raleigh.
Gosh. Gosh.
You know what?
Unbelievable.
I'm glad you mentioned Seth Jarvis. I'm gonna get to him when we do the three stars because he was one of mine tonight.
Ooh.
I don't think that there is anyone on the team who benefited more from that break than Seth Jarvis.
I think that's a very good point. Yep.
He was kind of hitting the wall. We all kind of expected him to, prior to the shutdown. He was, kind of just trudging through it, going through the usual growing pains, and lo and behold, he gets 2 weeks off. And look at him tonight. He was one of the best players on the ice at both ends. I mean, his defensive game, I mean, it's still a work in progress, let's be fair, but it's certainly not just a piece of Swiss cheese when he's out there on defense. And he looked more energized with the puck tonight. The goal he scored, he just ripped it.
Yep.
And a perfectly placed shot. I mean, just you can't teach a shot like
that. And he used the screen too. I thought he used Kotkaniemi in front really well.
And he's, I think that this time off, you know that he was using that to watch film, identify things where he can improve on. I know his coach was doing that too, because that's what he does. This was a blessing in disguise for Seth Jarvis, and I think he really had a great game tonight.
Yeah, look, I thought there were a lot of guys that had really good games. I did not give him one of my three stars, but we'll get to that in just a second. But he had started to play a little bit better just before the shutdown. And then, of course, he gets COVID in Vancouver. And I wish that I could have been in that ambulance. I would have worn a mask. But the ambulance from Vancouver into Seattle with Aho and Jarvis and the member of the training staff getting back across the border and then flying, picking up the COVID-4 in Minnesota. What a tremendous!
It just seems like a script from a Bond movie, doesn't it?
Like I started to watch the movie The Great Escape the other day. I could hear that music in the background, right? I could actually see Steve McQueen on the motorcycle, racing through the German countryside. Just an absolute great visual, coming across the border in the ambulance.
You're cinephile tastes never cease to amaze me, HG.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I'm not even
kidding.
I'd
like to hear your top five at some point, but now it's not that time.
You know what? Mary Poppins is in my top five. I'll just
okay.
I love Mary Poppins.
I'll allow it. Toy Story 2 is in my top five.
Ooh,
I got nothing wrong with that.
Have you seen Toy Story 4?
I have.
I love Toy Story 4.
It's well done. It doesn't...
I'm with you on
Toy Story 2 is perfection.
Yeah, I'm with you on 2.
With the exception of the 3 minutes I fast forward during the Sarah McLachlan song, Toy Story 2 from start to finish is absolute perfection. So, it is it's one of the best movies I've ever seen might be the best sequel I've ever seen.
Do you hate Sarah McLachlan, or does, like me, when you hear Sarah McLachlan, all you can do is think of the rescue, like the commercial she does for Please Send Us Money for Dogs?
The answer to your question is yes. The answer is yes.
To all of that.
No, I've got nothing against her. I do have, there's something about grown adult men ugly crying to Sarah McLachlan songs. And I'm not below it. Just saying, it's not my preferred way to watch a movie. That's all I'm saying.
That's fantastic. Let's talk about Jacob Slavin for a second here.
Yes, let's.
He only played 18 minutes and 43 seconds tonight. That's like not even playing.
What a bum. I know, right?
It's like not playing. See, only the second.
Back, he's probably looking back at Rod. He's like, I've been on the bench for 30 seconds. What's going on here?
Come on. This is two periods worth. It's only the second time all year he's played less than 20 minutes.
He deserves an easy night.
I mean, are you kidding me? I looked at it like, this can't be right. He
still got three assists.
I know. Can't have only played 18:43. He is now, he's second on the team in assists behind Aho, who has 19. Slavin now has 17. One goal, 17 assists. I wonder, if he ends up with like 50 assists, I'm just throwing a weird number out there.
Mm.
Can you be a Norris Trophy candidate with three goals and 50 assists?
In 2022, honestly, probably not. But should he be? Yeah. I mean, I think he should. I think he should be. Regardless, he should be a finalist with 20 points. Never mind 50.
It's funny. I talked to Tony D'Angelo about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
And if you want to get Tony D'Angelo talking about another player, get him talking about Jacob Slavin and what he does. He says, "I always knew
he was
good."
Well, pretty much anyone that's ever played with him. Ask Brett Pesce about him.
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, those guys came up together. D'Angelo, who played against him for, in however many years, he said, "I knew he was good. I didn't know he was this good." To see it up close, he says, is amazing. I just made a comment one of my other times talking to D'Angelo. I said, he played 10 minutes in the third period, and D'Angelo goes, as he should have. It's like the more he's on the ice, the better. He is absolutely a machine. Yeah, three assists. He played 4:53 shorthanded. He's just that road trip when they were down to Maxime Lajoie. And by the way, I like Jalen Chatfield, so I'm not going to throw him under the bus at all. I love Chatfield. I think he's got a future. But when they were really struggling and Ian Cole was playing top minutes where he's playing 22, he actually played 25 minutes one game, which is at least 10 minutes more than Ian Cole should play.
And I like Ian Cole.
I love Ian Cole, but Ian Cole can't be playing 20 some odd minutes a game.
Nope.
That's when you go, oh gosh, he's exhausted. He can't skate anymore. but Slavin played half of the game three times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you got?
And never looked like and never looked like he broke a sweat.
Nope.
And tonight, I don't think he did.
He might not have. Pesce played almost 22 minutes to lead them in ice on the blue line. But I mean,
yeah.
Aho and Slavin should both be all stars, right? I first of all, I can't believe they're going to have an all star game, but I guess why not? But
dollars talk,
They do. They do. But I mean, they should both be all-stars, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I don't see why they wouldn't be.
And Freddie?
I mean, I don't know how you, you could go down the line. I mean, Aho should be there. Slavin, Anderson. Heck, you want to throw Teravainen in there. I think you can make an argument for that. I mean, it's insane. It is absolutely insane how deep this team is and how committed to the bit they are. And I know that we usually use that as a pejorative, and I'm not here. But every guy in the locker room, you can say next man up, this team lives next man up, and you call Jacob Slavin a machine. I think the entire active roster right now is a machine. Every guy is a cog in the wheel, and you know, you might miss a guy, you might miss a few guys that are out with COVID or whatever, and they just don't miss a beat. It's insane. I don't even think the 2006 team I remember being this insulated from anything else going on, just going out there and doing their business night after night after night, regardless of what the circumstances are. Yeah. Almost 25 years of the Hurricanes being in Raleigh, I do not remember them ever being like this. And I can probably count on one hand the number of teams in the last 20 years anywhere in the NHL that have been like this.
Yeah, they're sustainable. They're very sustainable. They play the best team defense that this franchise has ever played because, I mean, they have very good defensemen. I'm not even trying to say that. I mean, Slavin and Pesci and Brady Shea. I mean, I wish Brady Shea didn't make over $5 million a year because, I mean, to provide basically no offense, and I'm not knocking him. He's he is a great part of this team. But
the thing is, every guy was brought here to fill a specific role, and some of those guys are playing different roles than what they had played on their previous team. Shea is a good example. Coach Niemi is a good example. They're not doing what they had been doing, and that's a credit to the scouting staff, to the front office, to everybody involved, saying we've got this guy that, you know, we've got this spot we need to fill in the lineup that's got these responsibilities, and we've identified a guy who hasn't done this before in the NHL, but we think could, and to a man, Freddie Anderson's another good example. Every one of them that they brought in has just filled that role and checked that box almost perfectly.
To be perfectly honest, and I know Don Waddell is the general manager. Eric Tulsky and Tom Dundon put this team together. Yep. And I know this, and I also want to give Darren York some credit because York's scouting, they've got some pretty good prospects on the way. Now, they're like all the guys that would have played in the World Juniors, those guys are 3 or 4 years away. So in terms of guys who are ready, Etu Mäkäniemi, the goaltender from Finland, I mean, he's playing great for Chicago. Mm. I mean, he's probably 2 years from the NHL, which is it works out really well, considering that both of their goaltenders right now are on 2 year deals. Either way, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but here's what Tulsky and Dundon did this offseason was they put together not only this team, but they stocked Chicago with guys who played in the NHL before and who were ready to play. It's been, they're prepared. They are prepared for May and June. And
the guy that you didn't mention there is the head coach, who's just as integral to this whole thing as anybody, because he's the one that goes to Tom and goes to Eric Tulsky and goes to Don and says, I need someone that can give me X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they went out, they identified exactly who they wanted to fill those spots, and they've done it perfectly. It's a well-oiled machine from top to bottom. And it was definitely a leap of faith to put a setup like that in place, because the NHL generally doesn't do stuff like that. But, you know, credit where it's due. They had a vision, they followed through on it, and we're seeing the results of that now.
Yeah, Rod is, I mean, I've said this before. It was obvious to me that he was going to be a great coach. I think he's better than I thought he'd be, and I thought he'd be a great coach. Now, there are some elite coaches in the NHL. Mike Sullivan of Pittsburgh, John Cooper of Tampa, I think they're as good as you're going to find.
I think Rod's in that conversation.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Now, to me, Rod is a different kind of coach than Sullivan and Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Rod is a... I can't even explain it. Rod... it's the easiest way to do it is to say... And I want to get your stars here before I have to say let you go. because I've kept you up too late, Brian LeBlanc.
That's okay.
Rod cares so much about the franchise and getting it back to where it was in 06 and before then 02 and 09 also counts. He cares so much and wants them to do that. He has managed to transfer his level of care to the players.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a single player on that team in that locker room that doesn't give it.
Yep.
There are nights where, when you play every other day at some point, there are going to be some cluckers in there. But, man, this team pours it out every game. Every game. There have probably been three lack of effort nights in Brind'Amour's tenure. I mean, they could be bad, but they try.
Yeah.
Every single time. It is one. And when you do that,
100% agree.
And when you do that, I remember Bill Peters, he used to say, well, we got to outwork the other team. Like, that ain't a strategy, son. Sorry. Because the other team's trying to win too. That ain't a strategy. But when you couple that work ethic, which is always there, with a higher level of skill, which, in fairness to Bill Peters, he didn't have. He didn't have the talent that this roster has. But he also didn't have the ability to get the most out of players and to recognize what players need. Brind'Amour, who, was a star, he understands what the players need. They want honesty. They want somebody that has their back. I mean, gosh, I could sit here all day and talk about the head coach. I have a little bit of a unique relationship with him. I will defend everything he does. I don't care. I will defend line combinations that look like, who the hell did that?
Mm-hmm.
Why are those people playing together? If Brind'Amour decided he was going to play Ian Cole at center with Jacob Slavin on the left and Tony D'Angelo on the right, I'd say he's got a reason to do it. I defend it. But I'm an apologist. All right, let me give me your three stars, Brian LeBlanc, and defend it.
All right. I kind of let the cat out of the bag here, but my third star tonight was Seth Jarvis.
Indie band third star. That's good. That's fine. I was probably pretty stock, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you could give it to Slavin. You could give it to Aho. I think those are all, reasonable. It's a shame there's only three stars, to be honest. But I think that the combination of the, not just the goal he scored, but his play off the puck, his, the fact that the layoff didn't seem to hurt him and it actually may have looked like it may have helped him a little bit. He's an important part of this team. And, I think it would have been disappointing if that layoff had cost him whatever momentum he had. And I think it's worth recognizing, when a guy that is, has he turned 19 yet, or he's just about to turn 19?
Oh, he's 19.
Yeah. I think it's worth recognizing when you come off of a 2 week, essentially a 2 week forced break, coming off of COVID, no less, and you pick up, better than you were before the pause. I think that deserves some recognition.
Sure.
So that's why I give Jarvis my third star. My second star goes to Teuvo Teravainen. With honorable mentions again to the guys we mentioned. We talked about this a little bit before too, but his ability to see the play, his just sharing a brain with Sebastian Aho. He's one of the best players that the Hurricanes have on the roster. They need him to be one of their best players. And the past few games he has delivered, and two goals tonight is reflective of how well he played and how well he has played over the past few games. And, they've got a healthy and productive Teuvo Teravainen, look out, because, you know, the already good team is going to get that much more, that much better with him lighting the lamp on top of being the playmaker and the defender that we know that he's always been. And my first star, I mean, it has to go to Antti Raanta. You know, again, like we said, this wasn't the most difficult of oppositions for Antti, but it's still an NHL roster. It's still his first shutout with the Hurricanes. You know, he earned it. It wasn't just an excuse me shutout where he makes, you know, 15 saves that all come from the blue line or anything like that. He did have, you know, there were a few that he had to, you know, put some acrobatics into, and good for him, because not that he's had a difficult start to the season, but with as well as Freddie Anderson has played, I think that Antti may have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit, especially early. And he, you know, he's worked hard and deserves the accolades that come with the shutout, and definitely earned it tonight. So he gets my first star.
First of all, you don't have to give anybody your first star, but I appreciate that you did. Brian LeBlanc, I will give you my three stars. And to prove that, I gave Antti Raanta my third star tonight. I thought there were a lot of star possibilities. I did not want to overlook Antti Raanta. I thought his best work came in the first 8 minutes of the game, where Carolina was basically on their back foot and Montreal was coming at them downhill. But Montreal, as we pointed out in the beginning, doesn't have enough firepower to really make it work. But Raanta made probably three or four really good saves early on, or at least got them out of trouble early on. And then from that point on, I thought Carolina really took over the game. But I considered, it's kind of weird, I considered the other winger on that line, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who factored on the Niederreiter goal, because I believe he deflected the shot from Slavin. And he's very effective in the middle of the ice in front of the goal. And so he deflected the shot, which created the rebound, which allowed Niederreiter to, he was also in front, by the way, allowed Niederreiter to sweep it in for the first goal. He also had, I want to get this right, Kotkaniemi had three shots on goal and six hits tonight. He was a madman tonight. He's also got 6 points in his last five games, a goal and five assists in his last five. So Kotkaniemi has simply played really, really well. And I thought it was significant that he played a good game tonight on the wing, because all of his good play had come at center. And for this team, I think, to be as good as they can be, they either need Jordan Staal to be a fourth-line center or Kotkaniemi to be successful on the wing.
I agree with that.
So, yeah. I mean, we're looking at, you know, how does this team win a cup? I still don't think they're there. I'll get to why what I mean by that in a second. My second star was Aho. Aho, again, 6 of 8 in the faceoff circle tonight. I think he orchestrated basically their offensive attack pretty much all game. And he's so good. You know, I know if you watch the game, Tripp Tracy credited Aho with the turnover. Looked to me like Pesci just whiffed on the pass that went through him in the first period. But it's Aho that gets back. He's so defensively responsible. It's one of the coach's favorite things about him. I know it. And I could always get Rod to talk about it by talking about that. Because otherwise, Rod is not interested in praising anybody. Like, Slavin played 33 minutes one night, and I just say, yeah, you know what? Sometimes you got to do that. Okay, Rod, thanks. And Teravainen.
Takes one to know one,
right,
you know?
Exactly. And Teravainen was my first star. But I actually considered Jordan Staal tonight. You know, at one point, he was 15 for 15 in the faceoff circle.
He's incredible.
He was 17-4 tonight, so he went into a slump.
He's gonna be 45 years old and still taking up a spot on an active roster somewhere solely to take faceoffs.
Defensive zone faceoffs.
Yeah, he will have like 42 seconds of ice time a night, and we'll take every face off. It'll be, you know, again, 17-4 or something.
It's just ridiculous. It's so amazing. But yeah, and I thought Nino played well tonight. And I liked Tony D'Angelo's game tonight as well. There was a lot of guys, I thought, who played very well. All right, real quick, final thing, and you can I will make this statement, and you can either agree, disagree, or give me something else. I don't care.
Okay.
If this team can win a Stanley Cup, I think they need one minor tweak. No offense to Stephen Lawrence, but I think we need a better version of Stephen Lawrence in that role. If Brendan Lemieux can be acquired from the LA Kings or a player like him, I really like that upgrade for this team, but we'll set that aside. When Andrei Svechnikov gets his scoring touch back, I think the team goes to another level.
Yep, I agree with you. I'm not 100% convinced that they need to upgrade anything so much as they need to define roles, and Coach Niemi is the guy that comes to mind there, because you're right. If he's the fourth line center, this team's not as good as they could be. But I don't know how you play him unless you drop Stahl down. I don't know how you play him at center. And I'm honestly not sure if, you know, I see where you're going. I would not want Brendan Lemieux for a few reasons, but that is neither here nor there.
He's a former Ranger.
Well,
we
yes,
don't have
I realize
enough of
that.
Those,
there are a lot
Brian.
Of former Rangers. Yeah, I know. I think the guy that you need to acquire is your Barkley Goodrow type. Not him, you know, when not him now, and maybe kind of a poor man's Barkley Goodrow is what you need. Just enough of a scoring touch to be able to, you know, create something on the fourth line. You don't need the goon. You don't need the penalty killers, because God knows the Hurricanes have enough of those.
That's true.
You need the guy that can come out and give you 10 or 11 minutes. If you need him to kill a penalty, he can do it, but can chip in with a timely goal. In much the way that, frankly, that Jordan Martinook has done in years past, not so much in, you know, the recent past, but thinking back to like 2018-19, that was kind of the role he played. I don't think that's really his game quite as much anymore, and the injury kind of hovers over him as to how much he's going to be able to contribute in that role going forward. But that's the type of player I think they need. I think it's a spark plug guy, a guy that can, you know, that can give you 15 goals a season, you know, annualized, obviously. That's enough of a pest to play against, but not somebody that's going to go, you know, full bore, you know, knuckle dragging fourth liner type. But yeah, I agree with you. I think they're one piece away. I honestly would probably consider looking at an upgrade on the bottom pair of defense as well. I'm not 100% sold that those are the six guys that you're going to take to battle in the playoffs. Once everybody's healthy, of course. I think they could upgrade that somewhere if the right guy's available. But yeah, I'm with you that I don't think they're there yet, but there's a couple pieces that haven't fallen into place yet either. And so I think they aren't that far away. And I think one or two tweaks and they'll be, you know, they'll be right up there. I mean, the Eastern Conference is going to go through either Tampa or Florida. It's going to go through somewhere within a couple mile drive of my house. I'll put it that way. And I think that, you know, regardless of who you're going up against, that depth is going to be tested. And so you need to make sure that depth is as quality as it can possibly be. And so I think, yeah, you're probably right that there's a couple, you know, one or two minor additions. Don't think you need to rock the boat too much, but they're not quite there, but they're pretty darn close.
I'll never count Pittsburgh out. So the Penguins, even though the Penguins have not been good in the playoffs lately, I will never count them out. But
you know, I can understand you saying that. I think that they're, I don't want to say their time has passed, because I don't think it has, but I think that, you know, whereas a few years ago, a healthy Penguins team could skate with anybody, I can think of probably four teams that, even at their best, the Penguins – would have trouble keeping up with, and the Hurricanes are one of those teams.
Well, we haven't seen a healthy Penguins team in 3 years. But I like by what I'm getting at is I'm not going to count them out, but I don't think the Penguins are one of the top four teams in the East.
No, and, I agree with that.
And I think the top four teams in the East, two of them are in your state.
Yep.
The Hurricanes and the Washington Capitals. The Toronto Maple Leafs will forever be a mirage to me.
Yep.
And we could buy into all of this, all of that record and all of their talent and all of that. They still don't play defense. Jack Campbell's played great. Maybe Campbell will be different. But they still don't play any semblance of defense. And when you get to the postseason, if that's not your core, you ain't going to win. And it's actually the one thing that concerns me about Florida, and maybe to a certain extent Washington. But the core of Tampa is on the defensive end. The core of the Hurricanes is on the defensive end. Washington is a big physical team, and those are the teams that give Carolina trouble. So that would be my concern about the Capitals. But I think those are the four best teams in the East. And I can't wait till we get there. I hope we get there. I just hope that I hope this takes the exact same path. This virus takes the exact same path that we saw it taking in South Africa, which is they had a peak and then 2 weeks later it started to come down. We should be hitting that point right now. We should start to see numbers drop because the staying power of Omicron does not appear. Certainly the power of Omicron does not appear to be as deadly as Delta and others. I don't even remember the first two names of it. And I was thinking it was Old Coke and then New Coke. And then, but this seems to be.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should start naming them after soft drinks.
Like, I think
once we run out of Greek letters,
Omicron is mellow yellow, which I think is going away. Tab, gosh, Tab was awful.
What about Fresca? What's the Fresca variant?
Fresca's still around, man.
Yeah, no, I think you still find Tab every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't. Tab's terrible. Tab is terrible. Brian LeBlanc, you're the man for doing this. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Adam, always my pleasure. Good talking to you. Take care.
So we even went down a rabbit hole of goofy movies with LeBlanc. Very much like Alec and I talking about, I don't know, cookies or Christmas trees or whatever the hell we talk about at the end of podcast. Anyway, I think we've taken enough of your time. So I want to thank Brian LeBlanc at BD LeBlanc on Twitter. I want to thank you, and I want to thank the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. You can go online for a free no obligation estimate, aluminumcompany.com. Siding, windows, roofing, entry doors, bay windows, bow windows. They got it all. You can follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. Rate it, review it, give us 5 stars. I don't really care if you give us 5 stars. If you like it, you're probably giving us 5 stars. I had a performance review not that long ago. The person reviewing me said he doesn't give out fives. I got all fours. I don't know. I kind of think those are fives. It's the way I look at it. So if you give me a 4, I'm going to count it as a 5 anyway. So, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Canes and the Blue Jackets. New Year's Day, 1 o'clock. We'll talk to you after it. Bye.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.